will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus is our light for our path, and he does direct our path. But I think this passage is speaking about this verse in a different context. But you know, in Acts chapter 26, I'll read it to you, verse 17, when Saul was working out his purposes and his plans before God, he said this: I will rescue you from your own people, from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and the people among them may be sanctified by their faith in Jesus today. You see, I think this passage is talking to us about three things, and I want to focus on three things. First of all, I think it's talking to us about, in this passage of Scripture, the law, and then the love, and then the light. And so we have to understand, why was Jesus talking about how he is the light of the world? What happened before that? And if you look in this passage of Scripture, we see the first point I want to talk about is the law. The law, in Jesus' time, the law reveals to us our guilt. Now, not now, because we're set free by the law, but in those days, the law revealed our guilt to us. And here we see in the story, at dawn, he appeared in the temple courts, and they gathered together around him, and the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, caught a woman in adultery. It's really interesting, because they don't only make any reference to the man in this story. Now, I'm pretty sure there would have been a man involved, 99% sure, but there's a woman caught in adultery, And we don't know the description, but here they find a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group. And so they would have pulled her out from what she was doing and would have made her stand there. Most humiliating thing that had happened. But here there's a lady who was committing adultery and a man, but it focuses here on the lady. So here somebody had not kept to the law. They're not kept to the law of the day. And so the law reveals our guilt. This person was found guilty for what they had done. The law had made them guilty. But we see in this passage here that the teacher of the law and the Pharisees brought the woman caught in adultery before Jesus. They made her stand before the group. And then they said to Jesus some words. But the first thing I want us to understand in this story is that the law reveals the guilt. The law revealed the guilt of this lady. Okay, and actually what should have happened in this, the law, what should have happened here is that she should have been stoned. Now, barbaric as it seems, that was just the way of the day. And so she should have been stoned. And so actually, if we need to understand the context of what Jesus is saying later on in this passage about what he means about being the light of the world, we need to understand a little bit of potted history. That actually we know, because we live in this day and age, in 2018, in this world, in this society now, that we have been redeemed by all of that. Because Jesus Christ died on a cross and showed his grace and his mercy to us. And we live in that today. But these people didn't. And so the law said that actually what would have to happen to this person, to this lady, that she would have to be stoned. The law reveals our guilt to us. And later on in this passage, when we come to the end, I'm going to be asking you, how do we apply it, not necessarily to us today, but to our community in which God lives and asks us to the community that God asks us to live in, be it school, be it college, be it in your workplace, because there's a world out there that need to understand that there's a thing, there was a thing called the law that Jesus broke because of his love, and then that's why he demonstrates that he is the light of the world, and we'll get to that in a few moments' time. So here we go, just picture the story. This is this lady who's dragged out by the people, humiliated, no man in sight, and then they say to Jesus, they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman." And they are right in their statement. Now, what do you say? What do you say, Jesus? In one sense here, they're trying to catch Jesus out. They're trying to catch him out because they're saying, look, this is what the law says. The law of Moses said that we should stone this person. And they would have understood that the law reveals our guilt and our shame to us, and there's consequences for that. But they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. You see, there and then, in this moment, we need to understand what was happening. to understand more profoundly when we get to verse 12 what Jesus was really saying to the world. And also Sarah has already said to us, and that's why we've come to saving grace in him. You see, the law revealed the guilt of this lady, and then they started to say to Jesus, well, what are you going to do, Jesus? The law says this, so she should be stoned, but we've heard about you that you're kind of a good person and you're a person who loves, etc., etc. So here we go. What's Jesus going to do? Is he going to keep to the law, or is he going to demonstrate something different, which I want to suggest to you tonight is his love? So the law reveals our guilt, but the second point is this, the love in this situation reveals God's grace. The love reveals God's grace. So here is Jesus, he's in this situation. So the first point is that she deserved to be stoned. The man probably deserved to be stoned too. And I've said that four times, but I think it's really surprising that they're not even present in this story. But then, see, they tried to twist Jesus. They tried to make him to do something that they were going to trick him. They're going to make him do something which is against what he believed. You see, they were smart like that. But the good thing is, Jesus is even smarter than they were. Jesus is even smarter than they were. So point number two is the love. The love reveals God's grace to us. And we see that, don't we, in verse 6. See, they used the question to trap Jesus in order to have a basis of accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Now, scholars will have different opinions about what actually happened here. And if you research it, some will say from the original text that it was written in, not in the English text, but in the original text that it was written in, that this whole verse here speaks about how some scholars say that Jesus was writing down and sort of saying, well, what was he writing in the sand? Some scholars say that he was writing in the sand all the things that those men who were just about to accuse this woman of the things that she'd done, he was writing in the sand the things that they had done so they could have a little look. Some say that. We're not exactly sure, but lots of scholars, from looking at the original text, it describes Jesus was writing something to declare a statement to those who were watching. If you go back and look at the original text, we haven't got time to dive into that tonight. You just have to maybe trust me or go and look for it yourself. So here we see that Jesus bent down and started to write something on the ground with his fingers. Well, and then they kept questioning him. He straightened up for a few moments. So after bending down for a few moments, he stood up. He straightened up and said to them, this, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote in the ground again. You see, here, Jesus was saying, you know what, you're not going to trick me into doing something that I'm not going to do, but I'm going to demonstrate to you by my presence being here that the law is broken and the love has come. The law reveals our guilt, but he was saying in this moment, the love reveals God's grace to us. God's love reveals his grace to us. Amen for that. Look like you're happy. Amen to that. God's love reveals his grace to us. And so here, he's not letting them program what he does. He's just got a purpose and a plan. And so by writing in the stone, by writing in the sand, again, he stood up and wrote on the ground. And he started to write things. At that point, he was saying to them, as we just saw in these words, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And the reality is that there probably was not a single person there that was with not sin. They all had sin in some shape or form. And he said, you know, if you are without sin, then you throw the first stone. And there and then he was saying that the law is finished. The love of God is being revealed in this moment through God's grace. And then he says to this, at this, those who heard began to go away. Began to go away one at a time. The oldest ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. You see, what happened here is God just demonstrated his love, and I love the way he did it, and that's not always the way that we would do it, is it? Is it? No, it isn't. And there's a real example to us, not just that Jesus is the light of the world, we'll get that to in a minute, but look at the way that he, look at the journey that he takes us on to understand the full completeness of that statement. There he demonstrates his grace, God's grace. We may not understand God's grace fully, but we've all received it and we're grateful for it, aren't we? And we all know in our inner souls the things that we have been forgiven by God and his grace that he's lavished upon us. But so often when we see God demonstrating grace to other people, we're like, oh, really? Do you really think they deserve it? What utter nonsense. What utter nonsense. It's God who lavishes his grace upon people. So just get the picture here. He demonstrates that the law was about revealing people's guilt, but he said, no, I want to talk to you about love, which reveals God's grace to you. And then they all started to walk away at that point, because they were probably thinking, oh, well, I can't throw a stone. You see the way that Jesus subtly did it. And then we get to this, when Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She would have looked around, probably with tears in her eyes at this point. Doesn't say that, but I wonder if she did. And she said, no one, sir. No one. No one. They've all gone. They've all gone. She knew that she had done wrong. She knew the consequence of all that action before she did it, and the other person too. But in that moment, God said, you know what? Jesus said, no. Sorry, let's use the right terminology. Jesus said, no. I have come so that the law may be broken. I have come so my love can be declared to a world that needs to know it. And everybody had gone at this point. No one condemned you, he said. And she said back to him, no one, sir, no one. And then here it comes, one of the most beautiful passages, beautiful verses in Scripture. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. So he said there in that moment, he demonstrated his love. He said, neither do I condemn you, because a new day has come. But Jesus declared to her, go now and leave your life of sin. Go away and go and deal with what has taken place. Deal with your life of sin. And then the third point is this. So we have the law, the love, and now, finally, we get to the light. The light reveals God's hope. And that's why John chapter 8, verse 12 is such an important verse of Scripture. Because the light reveals our hope. And not just our hope, but the hope of the whole world. Do you understand how profound this verse is? And how often we look at it and say, well, he's going to light our paths. And yes, he does, but it's so much more important than that. Because then when Jesus, it says in verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to his people, he said this word over them, which is the verse for tonight. He says this, I am the light of the world. I am the one. Not the law, not what you thought before and all this jargon that the Pharisees and other people have told you before, but I am the light of the world. I am the one. I am the one that you've been waiting for. I am the one who's here, stood here, present now today. I am the one. I am the light of the world. I have come so that the law can be broken. I have come so love can be changed. I have come so that I can reveal to the world that I am the light and I am the hope that the world are looking for. And it's the same for us today. And he says, I am the light of the world. And then he says these words, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. So whoever follows Jesus will never walk in darkness, will never walk separated from him, but will never walk in darkness, i.e. will never walk in sin, but will be forgiven for their sin if they have a heart that's repentant to Christ. Because darkness is talking about being separated from God, but darkness is talking about the sin and the things that we do wrong and the things that we mess up and the things that we shouldn't do that we do and we get guilty about and it messes with our minds. You see, darkness is talking about the sin that all of us in this room are sinners. Sorry to tell you, but we all are sinners, saved by God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. Amen to that. But we're all sinners. And here he is saying this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again. Yes, will we get stuff wrong? Of course we do. Anybody got anything wrong today? Of course we do. But actually, if we come to God with a heart of repentance and we say sorry, what does God say to us? He doesn't say, right, that's it. He actually says, Go now and leave your life of sin. Go and change the situation. But he helps us along the way. Often the people that don't help us are our friends or our family or people in our circles of friendship. They're the ones that are usually more condemning than Jesus is. But he actually says, do you know what? I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And when we do walk in darkness, what he says to us is what he says to that lady. Jesus declared, go now and leave your life of sin. Just go and deal with it. We know that we can go to Jesus now, and we can go to the cross, and we can say, because of the cross, we can go to Jesus, and we can say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I've sinned. I'm sorry that I've got it wrong again and again and again. But my heart is repentant. Would you help me not to do it again? You know, it's not good to do a sin and then just know that you've done it and do it again. That's a bit wrong. But actually, if my heart is repentant, say to God, I'm really sorry. But will you help me do it? Will you help me follow you more deeply again? You see, the law is broken. The love of Jesus has come. And the light reveals the hope that Jesus wants to declare to the world. Because then he goes on to say, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus, the light of life, Jesus. See, and I think we needed to read John chapter 8 to get to that. Because if we just read that one verse without the contents of what happened before, I just don't think it would have done justice to what Jesus was trying to say. Jesus said to the people again that you'll never walk in darkness, that you'll have light, and that light will be my presence with you. So as this lady goes away and reflects on that, the next time she sees Jesus, you wonder if she might be thinking, what's Jesus going to say? And Jesus spoke to the people and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees started to challenge him again and again and again. We haven't got time for that. But they can challenge him all they want because he's Jesus. They can challenge him all they want, but he is Jesus. So let's just wrap up and think, well, what does that actually mean for us today? What does it mean for us today? Do you know what? There's some of us who are Christians. We've been a Christian for a long time. We've even given our life to Jesus a long time ago. We've accepted Jesus. We've put up our hand. We've prayed the prayer of repentance. And we claim to follow Jesus. But actually, there's some of you that have done that a long time ago. But do you know what? The Lord reveals your guilt. Even though that is you, sometimes when guilt comes upon your life, you let it overcome you. You've been a Christian for a long time. You've come to church often, but even when stuff happens today, when you walk in darkness and you walk in things that aren't right and you shouldn't have done, you allow the guilt to overcome you. Even today, and that's not what Jesus' plan is for your life. That's not what he wants for you. He wants you to understand that those things that you have done, he just wants you to take them to him with a heart that's full of repentance, for a heart to be restored again. There's some of you in this room that when we looked at the whole concept of God's love, God's love reveals God's grace to us. There's some of you in this room that you're just not very good at receiving God's grace. Some of you may be easy at receiving it, but there's some of you don't want to receive God's grace because you don't think you deserve it. Well, none of us deserve God's grace. But it's because he loved us so much and he demonstrated that to us by sending his only son, not one of his sons. He didn't have 20, he had one. And he sent his one and only son to the cross to die for you and I, to demonstrate to us how much he loves us. And his love is revealed to us today by him showing his grace to us. And there's some of you in this room that actually, you're not very good at receiving his grace. And he wants to say to you today, receive my grace. Don't get tied up in knots all about guilt, because guilt is what the devil wants to confuse your mind with. But Jesus wants to say, it's gone. It's forgotten. I want to reveal my love to you, my grace to you. And there's some of you in this room today that actually, you don't actually reveal Jesus' light and hope in your life. Look at me, don't look at Darren, just let him do what he's doing. I can see all your eyes going. And the reality is this, that some of us in this room tonight, we need to understand again for ourselves that Jesus is the light of the world for you. And you've heard it hundreds of times, but you're still allowing guilt to overtake your soul. And you're still allowing yourself not to be receiving the grace of God. God wants you to receive his grace time and time and time and time again. And you're not going to achieve anything for God's kingdom and be the most fulfilled disciple that God wants you to be if you don't allow him to do what he needs to do and has already done for you so you can be free. We need to be living in this freedom that Christ says here. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We don't need to walk in darkness anymore. Yes, we need to always go back to Jesus with the things that we get wrong and the things that we mess up on. But the law is over. The love came, and the hope is present today, which is Jesus. But let me ask you a question to finish. If you've got a friend or a member of your family that's not a Christian, would you put your hand up? I think that's everybody, is it? Nearly. Put your hand down. May I suggest to you that some of those people that we might be thinking of right now may be riddled with guilt and don't fully understand grace and love, and certainly don't understand the hope and the love that Christ has to offer. So church, it's good for us to know that this passage is true for us, but we've also got to share what it says. You see, there's people out there, there's people in your class tomorrow, it's your best mate at school, or your best mate at college, or your best mate at uni, or your best neighbor. It's not acceptable, it's never been acceptable, but it's certainly not acceptable today, but it's never been acceptable for us not to tell them one of the most profound verses of scripture in the Bible. Because Jesus, when he spoke to these people, he was speaking to the world. He was making a statement. And this statement still needs to be proclaimed in the world today. People today need to know that Jesus is the light of the world. They may not want to know it, but if they see something of it in your life, they might come searching for it more. And there are many people today that are walking in darkness and walking in pain and walking in suffering and walking in guilt, and they're not free at all. And actually, the one who brings them ultimate freedom is Jesus. We know that, don't we? And we have Jesus in our hands. And we have Jesus in our hearts. And we have Jesus in our souls. As sinful as we are, Jesus wants us to tell that, to declare that to others, and to reveal it to them. Because in this story, in John chapter 8, Jesus was set in the narrative. Jesus was set in the context. Then, and we need to set the narrative and the context today. Because we've got people in our lives who need to know that Jesus says to them that he can be their light. He can be their guide. He can be their father. He can be the one that they follow. He can be the one who will take away their sin and their guilt and their pain and their suffering and their heartache, and they will never have to walk in darkness again, but will have light, and not will just not have the light, but see what it says there, will have the light of life, and will have life in Jesus Christ. See, we often say that we need to tell the word, the world, that John 3:16 matters, which of course it does, for God sent his only one and only Son. Absolutely, that's really important, but we need to tell people. How many of your friends and how many of my friends are riddled by just guilt and difficulty and pain and suffering that they just can't seem to get away from? How many of your friends and my friends just need to know that there's somebody who's willing to take that all away by his grace and his love, and to give them life? I don't know about you, but I've got loads of friends that need to know that. But I'll stop where I started. Is that there's many of us who call ourselves Christians, Bible-based evangelical Christians who've been coming to church for so long, but we also need to know that we're free too. And there's some of you tonight, and I'm going to pray for you just in a few moments' time, that you allow guilt just to overtake your life. You don't receive God's grace. I'm nearly done. God's grace. You don't fully understand what God's hope is for your life. And I just want to pray that this passage of Scripture tonight will profoundly take control of your life. Because in that, freedom comes. As a pastor, there's nothing worse for me than to see God's people who God calls me to serve not living in freedom when freedom is available. Freedom's available. And the good thing about Jesus is we don't have to be perfect to receive his freedom. But for those of us tonight who, at this moment in time, we've got it, we understand this, and we're okay at the moment, because we're all in different seasons at times in our lives. If we're in a good place with this tonight, can I urge you to share it and to declare it and to tell people about this? Because if there's anything that's going to change people's lives, is that when they fully understand this passage of Scripture. That lady, she thought she was going to be stoned to death. She should have been. But Jesus stepped in and gave her life. Each and every one of us in this place tonight, we don't deserve what Jesus gives to us. But he wants us to receive it as a free gift, because that's the way that he demonstrates his love to us. But if we have a free gift and do nothing with it, we're irresponsible. Can I pray for us? Sorry, that was a little bit longer than just one verse, but forgive me. Why doesn't the band come up? We'll sing a song too. Father God, I just pray, Father God, that you would help us by your Spirit. Father God, just to just take whatever parts of tonight that we need to take to heart. I pray that you would help us to allow that to sink into our souls and to bring about change. Lord, we thank you that we receive freedom in Christ because of your love revealed to us by your grace. And thank you, Father God, that we have a hope that is steadfast and certain in Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for any of us tonight that just need to know that again, I pray that that truth will just sink into their souls as we sing this next song, that they will find their true identity in that tonight. And for those of us who know that at the moment and we're in a good space, I just pray that you would give us the boldness and help us to be courageous tomorrow, not to go to school or go to college and just talk about chit-chat and talk about nothing really that significant, which we all do at times, but help us to talk about the truth of Jesus and help us to declare to our friends in a relevant way, maybe not just to read it, but to tell them in a relevant way that Jesus is the light of the world. And if they follow him, they will never have to walk in darkness again, but he will be their source of life and their source of light. Lord, would you give us the courage to do that? In Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Let's sing a song to respond.